The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Brian in the Shaw weighing in on the Carbless Talking text line this morning, 800-990-3776. No one is going to mention Mike McCarthy possibly being the coach of the Bears. We did a whole show on that last week, like a whole show on Mike McCarthy potentially going to the Bears. Do you want him to? Do you not want him to? Do you pull for Mike? Do you not pull for Mike? All of those types of things. I'm sure you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. Today, we are talking about how the Packers have been statistically elite. And what do we mean by that? Well, when you go in the rankings, in the standings, situation by situation, the Packers are pretty high up there. You know, I think at the beginning of the year, if you had said they will be a top 10 team in all of these categories, you would take it. Now, the caveat, of course, is that they stunk in their division against division opponents this year, 1-5. But they are 8th in points per game, 6th in points allowed per game, 5th in yards gained per play, 8th in yards allowed per play, 4th in takeaways, 8th in sacks, 2nd in sacks allowed, 5th in rushing yards, 7th in rushing yards allowed. The list goes on and on and on, guys. And all of these categories, they are top 10, even top 5 in some categories, 3rd in interceptions, 4th in DVOA. Why doesn't it feel that way, Chew? Why doesn't it feel like a team that has been a top 10 team across the board? Is it because they lost to the Bears? Is it because, like Gabe rattled off, the defense hasn't, at the end of games many times, been able to get the stop they need in order to win the game or put the offense in a better position?
No, I think the middle class in the NFL is so small. That's the problem. I think the lower class is big. I'll go through the games, okay? Eagles, upper class. Colts, lower. Titans, lower. Vikings, upper. Rams, middle. Cardinals, lower. Texans, middle. Jaguars, lower. Lions, upper. Bears, lower. 49ers, lower. Dolphins, lower. Lions, upper. Seahawks, middle. Saints, lower. Vikings, upper. Bears, lower.
How many times are you going to say the Bears?
A lot of lower
class. You also said the Lions twice, but that's neither here nor there. So your point
is
that...
Well, I was just going through the games. Yeah, I was just going through all the games. They're playing a lot of lower class teams that they beat up on, and that's why... Because the 5 elite teams that they played... Was it 5?
Well, they played the Eagles, the Lions, the Vikings. Those are upper class.
They weren't good. Yeah, they're just not good.
Who are the other 2 upper class teams,
Chew?
Well, 5 times they
Eagles.
Played.
Oh,
because
sorry,
they played
twice
the,
in the yes. Eagles. Twice the Lions, twice the Vikings. Got it.
So I think that has something to say. Because
so to Chewy's point.
This is like the eye test. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, to your point, Chew, especially when you take a look at the sacks, because that's something we've harped on all year, right? The pass rush. Oh, man, they're 8th in sacks? Yeah, they're 8th in sacks. But when you take away the 15 that they had, which is compiling a lot, a third of your sacks coming in 2 games... Now you have 30 in 15 games, that would rank 28th.
Mm-hmm.
That would rank 28th in terms of sacks per game. So you go from 8 and you drop all the way to 20 if you take those 2 games out where you're able to get 15 sacks in just 2 games.
So if I'm putting together a thesis on this, guys, if I'm starting to take the information that you're presenting to me and the information that is that Joshy compiled, it almost makes it seem like these rankings mean nothing. These rankings are not important, Joshy. The bottom line is if you beat up on terrible teams, bad teams, you can stat compile. You can pad your stats.
I'm glad you brought that up. The important measurement here at the end is DVOA. It is a number that puts a bunch of numbers together. And it measures your team's performance against a league average team.
Get that weed whacker out. Where's that weed whacker sound
Everybody
effect?
Is ranked in this on the same metric. So while we can obviously point to some of these things, I tend to agree with Gabe on the sacks. I do think it's hard to do the, well, if you remove those, then X, but we saw it. That's an eye test one. We know that one to be accurate. DVOA is measuring against league average, and they're 4th in that. So there is something more to just simply bad competition, because a lot of times they beat bad competition or even middle competition in a way that would say there's something more here. I think it's more than just simply they played a lot of bad teams. I think it's more to how they played well against better teams with numbers that ended up closely. It seems to be more than just, yeah, there's some bad teams out there and they beat them.
And I wonder if, to be honest with you guys, if you started to break down some of these stats, maybe even specifically the offensive stats, first half versus second half, it's night and day. Isn't, I mean, we know it from a point standpoint, obviously. We have talked about that ad nauseum and how the Packers have really struggled to put points on the board in the first half of games against the top-tier talent. But when we were talking about the Packers and they were on that run game that you have so famously made sure that we're aware of, when they were playing well and they did seem to be clicking on all cylinders, 30 points, 30 points, 30 points, 30 points, 30 points, they are able to score. It's just crazy because I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. I don't want to be one of these people, too, who looks at the way that the Packers played against the Bears and says, that is the most accurate depiction of who this Packers team is right now. Because that doesn't really seem fair. But I don't know if that stretch that Gabe keeps mentioning is fair either because of the competition that they were playing. So who is it? Will the real Packers please stand up? Chew, in your opinion, what is the most accurate version of this team right now?
They're a good team. They're not great. They're good. They can be. They just have not played good, very good against elite talent. And yeah, the scores look a lot closer than they should have been, especially against Minnesota and Detroit. But, I mean, if you look at this team objectively, and I'll ask you, do you feel good? Do you feel good right now?
No, I think yesterday's show should have been a great indication.
I was surprised, too, Jason. Yeah, I was surprised Jason, too, said the 93-94 team, because that's where I had him. This isn't the 95 team. It just doesn't feel that way. I don't feel like they're going into Philly and beating them. I feel like it's the year before when we go into Dallas and they're saying, maybe if we play real good, maybe we can beat them. And here's the problem. And I mentioned it a few times. San Fran had their run, right? I think they're done. They're on the backside. They go to a rebuild. The worst thing for the Packers this year would be for Detroit not to win at all. I really think it was, because I looked at their free agency. They are set up like the 49ers were 3-4 years ago. So we have to keep pace with them. You know, Goody's got to keep pace. He's got to nail draft picks, and you got to get free agents, because I can tell you this, and it's you know, injuries are a part of the game. Some teams get hammered every year. Some teams don't. And Detroit's not going to be hammered on defense next year. Could you imagine Detroit with limited injuries? You might as well give them the trophy, you know? So they have to keep up with the Joneses.
But that is a part of the league, too. Unfortunately, like, injuries are part of it. You know, sometimes it is the team that is the healthiest at the end. It is not the team that is the best. Gabe, what was the best game the Packers played this season? Like, where they looked the best. It had to be in that stretch that you keep referring to after the bye.
I mean, it's hard to say it wasn't New Orleans, even though it was
crappy team.
Even though it was such a bad team, because they did exactly what you were supposed to do against that crappy team, right? You go out there, you dominate, and your starters only play 2.5 quarters. Like, that's a complete effort of, and that's what I was expecting this past Sunday, playing against another team that had nothing to play for. Go out there, show your dominant, and have everybody sitting down by halfway through the third.
How different would we feel if the shutout came against the Bears versus the Saints? If that game...
So much different.
You just move it.
100%.
Move that exact performance, flip-flop them. We're probably in a lot better state than we are right now.
Absolutely. From a confidence standpoint, from a momentum standpoint, all of those things. Yeah, it'd be a great game. I think, forward to it, right? Mm-hmm. Two explosive offenses, two young quarterbacks, you know, the running back situation with Saquon and Josh Jacobs. Heck yeah, sign me up for that all day. But you clunk your way into the postseason. Now you got an injury to one of your top-tier receivers. Like, that's, I think, what is contributing to the malaise, the dread, if you will, that I am feeling. I'll speak just for myself.
Well, because I know we're going to power rank, but to Christian Watson, if you were to power rank him in terms of importance to the offense, what is he? Is he 3?
After Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Again, not taking any offensive linemen into account, even though we're just talking about the weapons. Value.
In terms of pass catchers, he's probably 1, right?
Yeah. He's their top pass catcher.
I don't know. You wouldn't put Kraft above him?
All right, tight end.
As far as importance?
I mean, to be honest with you, from a potential standpoint, too, based on what we have seen from both of them, I think that Tucker Kraft can eclipse Christian Watson. And some of mm-hmm. that is availability and some of that is durability, I know.
But the other part, too, is...
But they got to use him, is
correct.
My point.
Correct. They got to throw him the football.
Yeah. Now, I think their best game was Seattle. Because you're coming off of a loss, national TV.
Road game.
And Seattle's a mid-level team. You know, they're a mid-level team, and they went in there offensively. They did well, and defensively had some picks. I think that was in a tough place to play. So
do you think this version of the Packers that is going into Philadelphia this weekend is closer to what we saw versus the Bears or closer to what we saw versus Seattle too?
I just know when, you know, in all the years of playing in the playoffs, when you go up against an elite team on the road, it just creeps into your head of, and it's not a good thing. I think we can win, maybe. You want, like, yes, we could. And the difference is this, going to Dallas and then going to San Francisco. When we went into San Francisco in 95, we're like, these guys are soft, you know. They're talented, yes, but if we punch them in the mouth, we got this game, and it's exactly what we did, and we knew we could beat them.
I would make the argument that would be a good game plan for this Packers team as well. You got to go out there. You got to start fast. You cannot have those empty possessions early on against a top team like Philadelphia. You have to be able to capitalize.
Yeah.
You can't just go, well, Jordan Love heats up in the second half. We're good. We're good.
Would it shock you to know the Packers are fourth in first quarter points this year?
Yes, 1,000,000%. But again, I bet they're beating up on bad teams.
Probably. But that's where they are.
Because
first quarter scoring, they're fourth.
We talked about against the Lions and against the Vikings. It's been like 7-3.
Well, I mean, again, seven. If you were scoring 7 points in every first quarter, you would lead the league in first quarter scoring.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with all the memorable games and the games we really got up for were pretty much the blank slates.
But the problem is, it's not just the first quarter against those teams.
Yeah, it's half.
It's been the first
often.
Half.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we have to take a break. We have a very special edition of Power Rankings coming up. Chewy.
We'll see how special it is.
Oh, it's going to be special.
I was just saying, special might be the right word.
100% special.
Maybe not best.
Chewy did some work. Chewy
allegedly.
Put some work in. What, you think
allegedly.
Someone else did this? You think you found a list somewhere
we'll
online? Come on, give our guy the benefit. You know what? Never mind. I don't feel comfortable stepping out on that one, actually.
There's 13 teams, right?
Yeah. Precisely. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. Deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, so you can enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it's garbage. It doesn't work.
Chewy.
Am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
All right, buckle up, everybody. Chewy's got power rankings. Here we go.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night? Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
All right, tell us, sir, what we're doing differently with this version of the power rankings.
Okay, we're going to rank all 14, not 13 of the playoff teams, because I forgot that this team made it.
All right, so we got to figure out what team he forgot and put him at 14.
He already told you. Yes. He told us. It's the Broncos.
Okay.
So the Broncos are 14.
Broncos are 14. You agree?
The only reason you put the Broncos as 14 is because you forgot they were in the playoff field.
Yeah, and then I had to renumber them. It was just a lot of work that I really wasn't looking forward to on the Tuesday. All right, Broncos 14. I think they're clearly the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, good for them that they made the playoffs. But yeah.
Yeah.
They're not a threat 13. To anyone.
13.
I'm going to say the Texans.
I'm with Gabe.
Steelers?
The Rams are 13.
Damn it. Oh. Why the Rams
on,
next.
Why in God's green earth did they not play anyone when they could have possibly been playing the Commanders instead of Minnesota? I don't understand that move. It's an arrogance. I don't understand. I don't think they're very good.
I don't know if it's an arrogance versus, like, they're an older team that's been beat up most of the year, so they just took the week because they're already in.
Okay. Fair enough. 12.
Going back to the Texans. Well,
Josh?
I'm Texans.
The Buccaneers.
What?
What?
Buccaneers are a little schizophrenic.
See, this is...
Sometimes Baker's good, sometimes he's bad.
This is your team.
You're as schizophrenic as the Buccaneers are, apparently, because you've been arguing
fair.
For them to be this way better.
I can't believe you put the Buccaneers behind the Packers. Yeah. I can't believe that.
I think we're underselling the Commanders, and I think they will beat the Buccaneers, because the Buccaneers just, 11.
The Texans are really bad, Chewy. They're not good, and they are injured. Would you please keep them out of the top 10? Which also means the Steelers are in the top 10, which is beyond
Well,
me.
That's what I had. I had the Steelers as my 13th team after he told us the Broncos were his 14th by default. I'll go with the Steelers.
Jen, you nailed it. The Steelers are 11.
He's doing this now just to make you mad.
You think he
Russell's
could just, like, keep a team
done.
Off and secretly put them in someplace else? He's got to read what's in front of him.
How many did they lose in a row? 3 or 4? That is not a good place going into the playoffs. They will lose. This list is dominating right now. Yeah. It's so good.
So
number 10.
The same 10. Team you have basically crapped on the Packers for beating because they're not that good is now a top 10 team in the Texans?
Number 10.
It's got to be the Texans.
It has to be.
You are correct. The Texans are 10. Look, the Texans are going to win. They play at home.
Wait, is that
they
what this is?
They always win that first
playoff.
Hold
on, I'm starting to figure it out. If he thinks they're going to win, then he puts them higher on the list. It's
but,
not like...
Wouldn't you?
But here's the thing. He disagrees with that premise. Because, I mean, he hasn't said the Chargers yet, and the Texans are playing the Chargers.
So you think the Chargers are better than...
So he thinks the Chargers are going to beat the Texans, despite him just saying the Texans are going to win.
I have
this is exactly
the
what I did.
Awesome.
You want to hear what I did? I was so sick of the belly aching, I actually had the Texans at 9 and the Chargers at 10, but I didn't want to hear the noise anymore.
You got the noise, brother.
Look at, I'm telling you, that's what I did.
Who do you think's favorite in that
game? Show me the whole rest of the list, too.
Oh, sugar. I shouldn't have done that.
Good thing you didn't actually show us anything.
Who do you think is favored in that game, Chew?
I mean, the Chargers probably are, but I think the Texans are going to win.
But you rank the Chargers ahead of them?
Number 8.
He hasn't said the Chargers, right?
No, he said he put the Chargers.
Yeah, they're 9A, 9B, or whatever. Yeah.
Right, fair enough.
Number 8.
Now can we
number
get to the good teams,
eight.
Please?
Yes.
Well, I mean,
Packers to me.
I don't know if this is a good team, but the Packers are 8.
Commanders.
Green Bay Packers are 8. I think that's very fair.
You think
and
the
I'll
Commanders
tell you
are better than the Packers?
They got more wins.
Give me 7. Give me 7.
It's got to be the Commanders.
Yeah, the Commies are 7.
Commies are 7. Commies beat the Eagles, which are a very good team. Packers haven't beat a very good team. That's why I put the Commanders at 7. More quality wins. Fair enough?
Yep. So honestly,
6.
As much as we've bungled the bottom part, I think this top 6 is trying to get in your brain and what you think is a good football team is tough.
Yeah, uh-huh. This is
okay.
But
this
I am
is guessing game.
I am going to say the Vikings are 6.
Yeah, I have the Vikings as well.
Yes.
The Vikings are 6.
Okay.
So again, this
didn't
top 5
didn't look very good against Detroit.
We know who the teams are, obviously.
Yes.
But now it's figuring out what Chewy places value on now, and I would argue how significant he thinks the injuries that Detroit had piled up.
Correct.
But are getting healthier with every passing week, how much he thinks that affects their number one spot.
Yeah, I don't know how much more help they're getting after Anzalone. I know he was the one that they were waiting on, and he came back and looked great. But yeah, at number five, I'm going to say, Chu, you put the Bills there. He's been down on the Bills for
decade.
I think he's put the Chiefs at five.
Those are your guesses?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Ravens are five.
Man.
Little schizophrenic, Flowers, we don't know if he's going to play.
Just so disrespectful to Lamar Jackson.
I know, but I don't like them in the playoffs. They choke every year. They do nothing. Last year, they were the number one seed by a lot going into the playoffs and blow the thing against the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's why I ding them a little bit. Four.
Bills.
Bills.
Chiefs.
A.O. Buffalo.
He hates Josh Allen.
Uh-huh.
Is he going to win the MVP?
I don't know. I honestly
do not know. No, it should be Lamar.
Kind of seems like it.
It honestly should go Lamar, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen.
He hates him so much.
Yeah, I know. he hates Josh Allen.
This crazy town.
A.O. Buffalo.
Gotta be the Chiefs here, right?
Three.
Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm feeling Chiefs.
I think Detroit's here.
Detroit?
Yeah.
So he dinged him for the injury.
I think
Well, does he remember that
the Eagles as number one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does he remember that the Lions blew out the Vikings on Sunday night? That might have slipped through the cracks in the algorithm.
Does he remember that Washington beat Philadelphia? What do you got, bud?
Number three.
Detroit.
Chiefs. What do you got?
Wait.
I said Chiefs.
Yeah,
Chiefs. Jen, your Philadelphia Eagles are number three.
Whoa, Gabe.
Just last week you called them the best team in football, so.
Last week.
and then they lost
to Washington. You got to ding them for that.
First.
They
sat everybody.
It's really more about the top two than it is three. Number two.
Chiefs.
It's got to be Chiefs.
Yeah, I guess he was that impressed, I guess, on Sunday night, right? I'll go the other way. I'll say Detroit.
The Detroit Lions are number
He's
two.
He's putting his guy Andy number
just
one.
Just redeemed yourself.
Putting his
Gabe,
guy Andy
what
number
have you
one.
Always said, Gabe? Gabe, what have you always said?
They're fine.
Until
scared
they
money
lose?
Don't make money. I don't know.
Oh, until they
a
lose.
Super Bowl,
the Chiefs should be number one.
You put them number one.
You spent 17 weeks of the NFL season disagreeing with Gabe and I when we said that. And now it's switched?
Yeah. He's finally listening to us, Josh. He's listening to us.
That might be the greatest list in the history of power rankings. It was so good.
Clint weighing in on
except for the Chargers and Texans.
Carbless talk and text line, 800-990-3776 if you want to get in with the show. I love the show, always have, but Chewy, eat the gummies after the power rankings list.
I admit there was a little bit of hiccup with only taking 13 teams because I forgot Denver was in the playoffs. But I'm not standing by Texans Chargers. That's a coin toss.
Can we have a conversation, regardless of if it was Denver being in the postseason? How would that bracket look with 13 teams, big guy?
Well, Broncos are going to lose anyway, so
yeah,
it doesn't
count.
Really matter.
Yeah.
It's like the Bills have a bye.
I'm talking about the actual physical.
Yeah, no, there's two
bracket.
AFC teams with byes. That's how it works.
Yeah, two AFC teams have byes, and then you have the 17 bracket on the other side. It's pretty self-explanatory.
I mean, it's pretty innovative
the
on
best
my part.
Duh, in the history of does, Joshy. Wow. Gold medal effort there by you. I know the new year is a time when a lot of us want to hit the reset button, whether it's fitness, wellness, or taking better care of ourselves. Let's be honest, guys. Feeling confident in how you look and feel isn't just for the ladies. That's where Quintessa Aesthetic Center comes in. From January 1st through March 31st, Quintessa is offering special packages to help you start 2025 as a more confident you, whether it's wellness or weight loss plans, Botox, skincare, or even IV therapy. You've got to go to Quintessa for personalized options backed by medical expertise. Check it all out at myquintessa.com. Make this the year that you feel confident inside and out.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. It's presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks and Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks and Six, how it became the rallying cry, and what it really means to Jennings and the Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher.
I do my best to give the love that lasts forever. Seem like everything I do.
How do they do it? How do they do it? If you are a Packers fan out there who believes that the Green Bay Packers can go into Philadelphia and walk out of there with a victory, I want to know what the game plan is. I want to know what the strategy is. I want to know how they do it. Because I will agree with people who talk about the Packers being better on the ground this year. Obviously, I think Josh Jacobs was an upgrade to Aaron Jones, who will always be one of the great Packers players, but was aging and was limited in how he could contribute throughout a season. So I am loving the Josh Jacobs addition. But if you are going to run the ball, guys, you cannot be one-dimensional. You still have to mix in play action. You still have to be able to push the ball downfield through the air. Otherwise, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be licking their chops, Gabe. They're going to be stacking the box. And if you can shut down Josh Jacobs and you don't think the Packers can do anything in the air game, it's going to get over real quick.
Yeah, I mean, you can make an argument that Josh Jacobs just had a top five season in the history of the Green Bay Packers at running back because of what he was able to do this year, and that's why they went out and got him. And yeah, you run the ball to be complimentary off of it. And I think on the other side, and as scary as it is, they have to try to make the Eagles one-dimensional. Because if the Eagles are just running wild with Saquon Barkley, and then they can do whatever they want off the play action with the other receivers that they have, that's a recipe for a shootout, and I'm not sure the Packers are going to be able to keep pace, especially without Christian Watson. So they've got to do, on defense, what they've done well all year long is stop Saquon Barkley, stop that running game of the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, still a scary proposition with the weapons they have on the outside, but that's step one as well of any defensive game plan that they're going to have to put together.
Comes down to coaching. Philly has better offensive talent. Philly has better defensive talent. Let's not forget that Fangio knows this offense. He was in Chicago before he went to Denver, so he knows how this works. I'm sure, I mean, Barry was a disciple of Fangio. I'm sure he's going to give him a call. I don't know if talking to him is going to give him anything, but it's going to come down to coaching. You got to have two great game plans on either side of the ball, and if it's not, then I don't think they have a chance.
Okay.
All right. Great pep talk.
We talked earlier about the turnovers. Obviously, we always talk about Chu, and you are one of the disciples of this, that the turnovers can dictate the outcome of the game as well. Is there I don't want to say dial it up, because that seems a little bit too lame. But is there a way? But you know what I'm saying? You can't dial up, you know, takeaways. Yeah. They either happen or they don't. Sometimes you can put yourself in a better position. We talk about how there are guys out there who read offenses really well, who know, you know, tendencies and habits and sort of know what the offense is going to do based on what they have seen on film. Xavier McKinney has been obviously tremendous in that role. Gabe, to your point, though, a lot of teams don't throw towards him. A lot of teams aren't, you know, going to his side of the field or wherever he is because they know that he's a takeaway machine. So how can they capitalize in the turnover situation to put the offense in a better position to put the ball in the end zone?
Yeah, I mean, turnovers are the result of everything else that you're doing on defense and just having guys flowing around the ball, having guys near the ball. That's why Xavier McKinney's been so good at getting the turnovers thrown to him. Shout out to Keenan Allen for what he did, again, you know, this past weekend. But it's, can you get pressure? Can you dial up the pressure and have your guys be sticky enough on the outside that if that ball's a little off target, you're able to take it away? Guys flowing to the football, trying to punch it out and cause fumbles because you have multiple guys around the football. Those are the things that they've been preaching all season long. Or as we saw with Malik Willis, you get a rusher who goes unblocked and you get a free run at the quarterback and have a big enough hit where the quarterback coughs up the football. You know, they were able to get a couple of interceptions against, you know, Hurts back in week one, and they're going to have to see if they can try to replicate that the best they can. The scary part is the Eagles still scored 30-plus points despite turning it over those couple of times that they did.
Well, and you mentioned scary. That makes me think of scary Terry McLaurin, and he obviously had a big game against the Eagles. Packers don't really have that guy, as we have talked about exhaustively, but can Tucker Kraftschuh be a guy that they lean on in the passing game? Can he be a guy that sort of takes that role of being the pass catcher in this game? I mean, it would be a bit of a move away from how they have used Tucker Kraft, but maybe this is the game where they go, hey, we need you here, you got to be the guy, and they feed him regularly.
Yeah, I think he's got to get more involved, but that goes to the game plan. You know, LaFleur's got to be willing to call his number up time and time again. I mean, seven targets last week against Chicago would be something I would be happy with. You know, seven, but the three is just not enough. And to speak to McKinney, right, one thing they can't do is let anything over the top early in the game, because mm-hmm. when you put McKinney in cover two, he's not effective. He's just not effective, because then he becomes a center fielder. When you get him in different coverages, three or man, and he can come downhill, that's when he gets his picks. You know, he doesn't do it really in two, because two, you're locked in to your half of the field. You can't come up. You can't be aggressive. So that's, they can't let them get over the top early and have Halfley going, ugh, I don't really want to play two, but I kind of have to, because their corners are good. They're not great. And I think Philadelphia, A.J. Brown is good.
He's really good.
Who's the other one?
Devontae Smith.
And so is Devontae Smith. They're good players. So that's going to be, that's going to be important early on into the game, not to let anything over the top where Halfley has to say, got to play cover two, because then you're taking away what McKinney does best.
You know who's an interesting added X factor that we saw make one catch and he's made a couple here is Luke Musgrave. He hadn't played much. He's still coming back from that injury. But remember last season when he had the fastest time at training camp? Like, obviously, he's not going to be Christian Watson, but one or two deep up the seam and utilizing that ability and his speed, that's something that we haven't seen and probably would be a massive benefactor to the offense.
Yeah, I think you got to stun him with a couple explosive plays like that, right? Like, where the hell did that come from?
Uh-huh.
How the hell did they do that? And we are asking you this morning, loyal listeners, what is the game plan? What is the blueprint? How do you see, if you see a path to victory this weekend, what is it? The other thing, guys, this is my opinion. Philosophically, emotionally, mentally, you got to step up to the challenge. You have to be able, this is going to be one of the most pressurized situations. Obviously, it's win or go home. Obviously, it's playoffs. We get it. Pressurized situations that Jordan Love and company are going to face all season long. And in situations, Gabe, where they have faced pressure, and I'm not talking about pressure from the opposing defense. I'm talking big deal, big situation, got to get a win, show that you can hang with these top teams. They have folded. So I would like to see, when you have those opportunities for drives, sustained offensive drives, for Jordan Love to become cool, calm, and collected like we have seen him do against the bad teams, where he is rattling off 10 straight completions, where he is hitting his guys in stride, and they're getting back to the huddle, and you're like, oh, this is clicking. Everything is working. I need to see that. Not once, probably a few times in this game, in order to feel like they are not bowing to the pressure of a playoff situation.
Maybe have a trick play or two up your sleeve. You're the 7 seed. You're I mean, depending upon how much the line's going to continue to fluctuate, you're anywhere from 4 to 5 point underdogs. You got nothing to lose. You got nothing to lose in this game. And if you can try to recapture as loose as you were going into Dallas last year, you try to find a way to recapture that. Because you have nothing to lose. Nobody's expecting you to win this game. So, you know, act accordingly. You don't have to be tight. Yes, it's going to be a tough environment to play, but I think you just have to be as loose as you possibly can.
That's one thing they have to do. They have to control the crowd, because I think if you rank NFL stadiums, this would be three.
From behind a noise
standpoint, Kansas
yeah.
City.
Yeah.
It's just violent. They're vile. They're Philadelphia, you know, so take them out of the game early.
And you can do that by finding the end zone a few times early on. I believe, as much as we've joked about special teams, and I know that this is not the day where we should talk about how great special teams have been, because we're coming off of the punt situation against the Chicago Bears, but I also think that there is an advantage to having McManus. Him going out there and nailing that, was it 55?
55-yarder. In the cold
against the Bears. That breeds confidence for him as well. So, again, maybe we'll see him splitting the uprights a few times. If the Packers offense can't put it in the end zone, and I agree, Gabe. I saw you roll your eyes. I agree. You can't trade field goals for touchdowns against a team like the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good to have McManus at those end of game situations. But, yeah, if he's out there too much, that's bad for the Packers.
Do you go for it? Do you go for it on fourth downs?
Absolutely.
Do you man Campbell this thing a little bit?
I think
it depends about how much confidence you have in your defense, Chew. How much confidence do you have in the Packers defense that if you are kicking field goals, is your defense going to be able to keep them out of the end zone? If you've got confidence in your defense, then you take those points on the road. Otherwise, if you think it's going to be a shootout, you're going to have to man Campbell it and go for it a bunch.
I think it depends wholly on field position. I know I just spoke out of both sides of my mouth. I'm sitting here. I did, because I'm praising McManus, and I'm saying, sure, you know, he's a weapon and you got him and you know he can hit from distance. And then I said, absolutely go for it on fourth down.
But I think you have to make those decisions. I know LaFleur, you know, situation, you know, against Minnesota a couple weeks ago, kicked the field goal early, then went for it later, and he's talking about how that's more of a gut decision with Dan Campbell, and then they take the timeout, end up kicking the field goal, so you have the worst of both worlds against Chicago. Dan Campbell, for better or worse, doesn't think about it. It's just, no, this is what we do, this is what we're doing. So I think if you want to be aggressive, Chew, and you want to go for it on more fourth downs, I think that is going to have to be a conscious decision made by LaFleur and the coaching staff going into the game, so there's not this, we're going for it this time, or let's kick it this time. I think you want to have those definitive decisions, and that's going to make your team more confident going into the game.
Checking out the Carbless talk and text line, 800-990-3776. 85 has to have a big game off play action, that from Mike in the 414. Sadler in Madison says, I believe the Packers can win against the Eagles, but only if Jalen Hurts doesn't play, because he hasn't been cleared with concussion protocol. And Aaron in Fredonia says, I can see a path to victory. All we need is a time machine.
All right, well, you know, just call Doc Brown.
Yeah,
and
bring in something. 96-97 Packers roster.
I mean, Chewy, I'm sure you've probably thought you've invented time travel before. Maybe you can share some secrets.
I'm working on it.
Are you going forwards or backwards in time, if you could?
Forwards, almanac, backwards, money.
Yes.
I know. Jen's Biff.
That's the right answer. 100%. We'll take a break. Roll on right after this.
From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after, an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. It's Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in Six provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame, and catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. It's Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now, bucks.com/plus, or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought Salvation every time Army. That they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong.
He's
not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. And again, if you missed Chewy's story at the beginning of the show, we call it the warm-up. In the warm-up segment of the show, he accidentally sent a text in a group text that was meant for his wife that his son saw. And it was a little...
Well, his son didn't just see it. His son was also on the group
text.
Yes,
yes, I'm sorry. Yes. It wasn't like he was looking over his shoulder and was like, whoa, or, keep it in the bedroom.
Yeah, or Chewie's wife got the text, started reading it out loud, and Ron Burgundy'd it with her kid sitting right there.
The kid was on the text chain.
Yes.
And Chewie
was told to delete it. He was told to delete it.
But you told him to delete it in a text message after the first two.
Also, you can delete your own text now.
Yes,
on
can
iPhones.
We please show him? No, can we please show him how to do that? Chewie, you can delete text now.
So, I know I can delete mine, but I can't delete his if it's already on his phone.
Yes, you can. You can delete sent text.
Yes, you can. If you sent the text, you can delete it, and it will pop off of their screen.
Next,
gone.
Next time you're here, I'll show you.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Right, that would have saved us all. Well, it wouldn't have saved
us. Once again, information that would have helped me earlier.
What a singer! That's one of my favorites. I use it all the time, and like now, unfortunately, the wedding singer has sort of like jumped the shark. Like, not a lot of people are watching the wedding singer, so I sent it to somebody the other day, and they looked at me with a blank face, and I was like, "Adam Sandler, wedding singer? No, nothing. Yeah. Okay, great, sounds good." Anyway, we put it on the Jen Gabe and Chewie Twitter poll this morning. Has that ever happened to you? Are you like Chew, where you have sent an inappropriate text message to a significant other without realizing it was a group message or had other people on it? 90% of people said, no, that's never happened to me. But Chew, take solace in the 10% out there that are like...
That's what I said. I said I'd take 10%. Got it. That's a win. That is a definite win.
It's still a loss for Nolan.
We also asked you, headed into the wild card game against the Eagles, which version of the Packers is this team closer to? The team that lost to Chicago? The team that beat Seattle? 54% of people are saying the team you are going to see on Sunday is closer to the team that lost to Chicago. And that might just be a timeline thing, Gabe. That might just be because that's the team we saw most recently.
What does Chewie always say? You're only as good as your last game.
You know, that was a really open-ended question you threw my way. Could have gone a lot of different ways.
Chewie got it right this time.
I know. I just figured it was safest for me to not talk. Wilde and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee.